This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson's sports talk show.
Let's do this thing.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
I'm not familiar with rap. Give me Hendrix any day and I'll go from there.
According to Jim is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
Bullpups win! Bullpups win! Bullpups win it in overtime!
The Chiefs.
Butker's kick is up! It is right down the boulevard! And Harrison Butker kicks some, you know what!
College football and college basketball.
Eight to shoot, Hall, the runner! Loose ball! It's good! The flipper still fits!
And everything else happening in the sports world.
And the Bullpups walk it off here at McPherson Stadium! This place is going crazy!
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing, a Tuesday edition of According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE, or for those of you listening worldwide at midkansasonline.com. You can always listen on podcast as well at soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. I'm Jim Joyner, and joining me as always, the most popular man in McPherson, Steve Sell. You are legitimately the most popular man in McPherson this week. You set a new record last week for the most sports hits and the clicks on the website that you've ever had in a single week.
Yeah, and our entire website had the most hits we've ever had.
Yeah.
And man, the numbers just exploded last week. I think playing Derby and Miege in basketball.
Yeah. A couple of decently sized
games. Yeah, and you know, had a busy week of wrestling and great swimming and just a lot of things going on. But boy, we are just blessed that so many people go to midkansasonline.com. The numbers far exceeded our previous high. I mean, we've had a lot of high numbers, but these numbers, it was almost like they were just continuous. So record-breaking numbers, and we have you, the listeners and readers, to thank for that.
Yeah, it's been a good week, and it was a fun week last week. We were obviously up in Kansas City on Friday, but came back, and starting this week, a little bit of a deep breath for Bullpup basketball after two really big games last week. Now they have three more games to close out 2017. They take on Abilene tonight at Abilene, and then two home games with Winfield on Friday, and then Andover coming to town next Tuesday. Both teams, Steve, have a very good chance to finish out 2017 with a 5-1 record with three straight wins.
Yeah, and for the McPherson girls, though, tonight, the KBCA rankings came out. McPherson girls stayed number two. Abilene, tonight's opponent, is number six. So a third straight game for the Bullpup girls against a ranked opponent, of course, played two number one teams last week. Always difficult to win in Abilene. It's a tough place to play. Great environment. They get a tremendous home following to their game. So another hostile environment.
Maybe the Tuesday night game will help.
Yeah, and but, you know, after the environment we played in Friday, I think from anything else is going to be less because we will not play in a more hostile environment than we played that last week. The Abilene boys kind of struggling. It looks like they score a lot of points, but they really give up a lot of points. They play kind of an up-and-down game that the McPherson boys love to play. I think both McPherson teams will come away with wins tonight, and then Friday, of course, Winfield comes to town, and I feel really bad for Winfield because it's going to be two really ugly games. The Bullpups on Hall of Fame night, or Wall of Fame night, I should say, are really going to enjoy themselves because Winfield, not very good, either boys or girls. In fact, their girls really in a rebuilding mode. And the McPherson boys have put up some just monster numbers in the past against Winfield. Your buddy Connor Bouchard down there, I think he kind of knows what's going to happen. I mean, he has no delusions. He knows that his team's in for a long night. But should be a great week of Bullpup basketball. Should be a great week for Bullpup wrestling. They go to Bueller, the big arch rival match, on Thursday. Then they're off to Abilene for their final 2017 match, Abilene tournament, about 10 teams, and then they get some much-needed time off because they have wrestled, let's see, nine duels, I believe. No, let's see, they wrestled
seven, then a double
seven
duel.
And three. They are, yeah, they have wrestled 10 duels already this year. So
the Rose Hill and then the double duel here.
Yeah,
and then
three
the seven
and then
at
seven. So they have wrestled 10 duels already. Duel number 11 will be Thursday, then another tournament on Saturday. They're going to get some much-needed rest and healed up. But Coach Kretzer just sent me an email. He says, hey, we will be ready to go. This team is always ready to battle.
So we'll talk a little bit more about the Bullpups taking on the Abilene Cowboys and Cowgirls a little later on in the show. But the first thing I wanted to dive into, it relates to the column that you wrote today on Sell On Sports at MidKansasOnline.com. You'll have to go give that a look. But Steve, you talked about the KU basketball team and some of the troubles that they have had so far early on in this year. And I've said it a couple of times on here that I am a little bit skeptical of this KU team, and I have been since the first game I watched them, since I first saw them play Fort Hays State and Pittsburgh State, and then that translated into the Kentucky game. And then, obviously, it worked into the Washington and Arizona State losses from last week. I am not going to come out here and say, KU's not winning the Big 12. This is the year it ends. KU's going to be a 7 seed, because that's just not very smart, given the track record of Bill Self, that even in bad years, they're still a 3 seed or a 4 seed. I'm not saying that this is going to be a bad team. But what I am saying is this team has some problems that come March, I don't know if they will be able to overcome. And the first thing for me is the depth of this team. They need more than 1 point from the bench in order to be successful.
The big question for me is Billy Preston. I mean, this is almost getting nonsensical. How long it is taking to figure out if a car is registered in his name, if that's what it is, who bought the car, who paid for the car.
But you know the DMV, sometimes it takes a little bit of time.
Well, yeah, but anyway, the status of Billy Preston really is kind of holding up the KU season, because Billy Preston, he is the most NBA-ready player that KU will have. I mean, he is NBA-ready almost now physically, although he really does need a year. But if he never plays a game, he'll go probably right into the NBA, because next year he'll be 19, which will make him eligible. I don't look for him to, you know, if there is a problem with the car, he's a, you know, that does him for college anyway, so he would go right in the NBA. But without Billy Preston, he's 6'10", 240. He's versatile. He gives them that other big that they're missing. We don't know about Silvio D'Souza, the high school kid that's trying to get.
But do you really think he's the answer to all the problems?
Because
I don't.
He's not the answer, and that's what KU fans have got to be realistic. He's still in high school.
He might get on the train and get on the team and might not even play.
Yeah, I mean, he may not be near as good as people think. If you're putting your eggs in his basket, that's a big
17 or 18 year old.
Yeah, that's a big mistake. It's Billy Preston is the question that's really concerned KU. If they get him back, you got to feel a lot better. They get Sam Cunliffe eligible, I think, the game after next. Not this upcoming game, but the next game. He will give him another body. He's also, you know, he averaged almost 10 a game for Arizona State, which just beat KU. You know, he averaged 10 and half a season as a freshman at Arizona State. So he does give him maybe another shooter where, you know, Malik Newman hasn't seemed to quite figure it out. It's a KU team without size. Once you get past Azubuike, it lacks depth, and obviously they struggle on the defensive end.
The thing for me, too, that I noticed very early on in this year, and it was a worry that I had for KU going into the season, is that Frank Mason was not a big player. He was not just an exceptional shooter, but a good shooter. But Frank Mason had this ability to take over games and go and win it for you. And the problem that I've seen with Devontae Graham is that he was able to play really well when he had a guy like Frank Mason to help him get the ball, because there's so much attention on Frank whenever he puts the ball on the floor that Devontae Graham was just so wide open at the three-point line that he could do his thing without having to take over a game. And the problem that I see with Devontae Graham being the feature player on this team is that he's not that type of player.
He's a Robin. He's not a Batman. He's a great wingman.
But not one of the best.
Yeah, and there's the big difference between Frank Mason and Devontae Graham is their mentality. Frank Mason refused to lose.
Bulldog.
He was Bulldog Bob Brown out there, let me tell you. But Devontae Graham, it seems like when things kind of go bad, he kind of hangs his head a little bit, and he gets that kind of frustrated look on his face. I think he knows that all the onus is on him now, and he's kind of finding it hard to be the guy. I mean, he was the guy that was, you know, like to be the supporting cast, the you know, the best supporting actor, so to speak. But as the main guy, he's struggling a bit. Granted, he had those back-to-back 35-point games. Those were great performances. But, you know, in the last two games, he's really kind of struggled. And right now, KU's just trying to figure it out. And, you know, really, in my column, I point out, Bill Self got caught short this year because he accepted three transfers.
Yeah.
And that really cut into his depth. They had a 6'9", 6'10 kid from William & Mary that had transferred over the summer as a graduate. He was going to be the one-year stopgap. He was going to be the backup for Azubuike. And then he decides at the last minute he doesn't want to play. You know, he's there, and then I think he sees that, you know, maybe he's not good enough, you know, to play a lot of minutes. He was just going to be kind of a, you know, a fill-in. I think, you know, his name was Jack Whitman. Came from William & Mary, about 6'9", about 240, I think. He would have given him, you know, a little bit of backup, but he left. So that's why Coach Bill Self has been caught short this year. He's got the Lawson brothers and Charlie Moore sitting out. He'll have them next year. But right now, you know, they got those three plus Billy Preston plus Garrett on their red team that goes up against the starters. That red team could play with those starters. They're that good.
And for me, the comparison from this year to last year goes like this. Devontae Graham is no Frank Mason. Udoka Azubuike is no Landon Lucas. Zvi Mikhailiuk or LeGerald Vick, they are no Devontae Graham and they are no Josh Jackson. And so the comparisons from last year, for people to think, okay, well, this team's just going to translate into the next year and still be just as good, I think they're a step down at every single position. And that's why I just have not thought all year long that this is a Final Four caliber team. Now, anybody in the top 16, top 20 is a Final Four caliber team because they can get hot. And Devontae Graham can get hot any game and go off for 35. He's already done it twice this year. But the consistency night in, night out that you got from the big three last year, Frank Mason, Josh Jackson, Devontae Graham, and even big four, Landon Lucas, will not be the same.
Yeah, and the other thing plaguing KU is the wild inconsistency of Zvi. You know, Zvi, there's games that he just goes crazy, scores about 25 points, and then there's games like the other night, he scored 13, but he got a lot of cosmetic points late, shot the ball poorly. He's just been real erratic shooting the basketball. And then Malik Newman, just not quite. I don't think he's quite what they thought he was going to be. He was the number two rated high school player in the country. Coming out of high school, he went to Mississippi State, was so-so there, didn't turn pro, went to KU. I thought the year out would really help him going up against, you know, in practice against the Jacksons and Masons and Lucases of the world. He's a good player, but he's not that explosive player I think everybody thought he'd be. I think people who thought he was going to be an explosive athlete and just be able to get to the rim anytime he wanted like Josh Jackson could, they've been sadly, you know, let down. So, again, it's a team that's young. It's a team that's finding its way. They've still got a few more games before the Big 12 starts. And I think they open with Texas, which will be no easy game because they've got
Mo Bamba.
Yeah, and boy, that guy, he's got the wingspan of a guy about 7'6". They played Duke really tough. I saw that game. They had a chance to beat Duke. And I just think every night's going to be a battle in the Big 12. There's going to be no easy games. TCU's so much better. Now, Iowa State's down a little bit. K-State's probably down a little bit. K-State's still a good team. But, boy, they really miss Wesley Iwundu and DJ Johnson. And but, you know, they played Arizona State tougher than KU did. But I think Arizona State's really found its stride in the last few games.
The good thing for basketball fans in the state of Kansas is that even though the Jayhawks are struggling a little bit, the Shockers have been really good. K-State with only two losses to Arizona State and Tulsa. So once we get going into full-on basketball mode in January, February, and they get into conference play, there should be a lot of good basketball going on. Okay, we'll transition on the other side of the break. We talk about why this year for the Chiefs is their best chance to make a deep playoff run with everything else surrounding them in the AFC. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead's Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back in on According to Jim today, Jim Joyner, Steve Sal on 96.7 FM KBBE, or for those of you listening online at midkansasonline.com. A lot of KU talk today about Steve's column on Sal on Sports. You can go ahead and find that and give it a read at midkansasonline.com. The other point that I wanted to transition into today, Steve, before we talk a little bit about Bullpup basketball tonight at Abilene, I wanted to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. And I came to a revelation last night.
Revelation.
After watching the New England Patriots lose to the not-so-great Miami Dolphins. And my point is this. For those of you that are still sitting around and saying, well, this Chiefs season is just a bust. It doesn't matter because the Chiefs are just going to go on the road in the second round of the playoffs and lose to either New England or Pittsburgh because that's just the way it is. For those of you that still think that, you haven't watched much AFC football this year. Although the Pittsburgh Steelers are technically in first place, they're 11-2, and although the New England Patriots are 10-3, both of those football teams are so flawed, and I just think that this year's AFC playoff picture is so wide open that if the Chiefs can just get in their wild card game, they would play at home. It would probably be against the Tennessee Titans or the Buffalo Bills or the Baltimore Ravens or maybe even the Chargers. Are any of those four teams scary to you? Then you make it through that wild card round and you go on the road to either New England, maybe Pittsburgh. They've already won at New England this year, and Tom Brady in the last two games has not looked good. Big Ben in Pittsburgh, he hasn't really looked great all this year. I mean, he throws 66 times for 500 yards.
Hey, he scored me a bunch of fantasy points last
week.
But
Big Ben has had his injury problems this year. And so you never know as this weather continues to be colder. All I'm saying is the Chiefs get into the playoffs. Who knows who can make a run? Jacksonville? Is anybody afraid of Jacksonville?
No.
With Blake Bortles at quarterback? Yeah, no. Their defense is good and people want to call him Saxonville, but this AFC playoff picture is so wide open, I would not even be surprised to see a wild card team make a run to the Super Bowl. I just think this is the year for the Chiefs. The last few years, it's going to be hard to get through Tom Brady in his prime in New England. It's going to be hard to get through Big Ben and Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. If there is a year to make a run, it is this year. And then you look at the NFC side of things. You make it to the Super Bowl. Minnesota's offense isn't all that good. Philadelphia is going to be using Nick Foles at quarterback.
Former Chief.
The Seahawks, who knows what you're going to get from
them.
They
may not even make it.
Who knows what you'll get from Cam Newton or Matt Ryan and the Falcons. Who knows?
Well,
it is so wide open.
Well, let's face it. The NFL is really watered down.
Yeah, hasn't been that good this year.
It's just not been very good. And a lot of that's got...
Well, let's phrase it this way. There has not been one or two utterly dominant teams.
The Patriots aren't the Patriots of what they've been. And I think a lot of that is no Julian Edelman. But the injuries, there have just been an outrageous number of injuries to star players. Carson Wentz of Philadelphia, the latest to go down. Philadelphia was looking like the best team in the NFL. And now you got Nick Foles. That's quite a drop off. Carson Wentz.
He had a decent game for the Chiefs last year in his one start.
Yeah, but Nick Foles is no Carson Wentz, but they've got a great defense. I still think Philadelphia might be the team to beat, even though they've lost their starting quarterback. You look at the other teams, Minnesota. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. What are they, 10-3?
Good defense.
New
offense,
Orleans.
Case
New Orleans.
Keenum.
You're looking at New Orleans, Atlanta, and Carolina maybe all getting in. You know, a couple of them is a wild card. But there's just not that team that knocks your socks off. You know, the Chiefs.
Maybe the Rams. They just have such an explosive offense.
Yeah, but see, they've come back to earth now.
Yeah.
Goff only threw for like 199 last week. It's just wide open. And I still go back. The team that can survive injuries at the final three, you know, that we're in the final 3 weeks of the season now. The team that can survive with the least number in injuries may be the team that kind of steps to the head of the class.
And you and I were talking about it this morning that with the Chiefs playing the Chargers on Saturday night this week, if they win, they not only hold the edge on the Raiders because they will have a better record in division, but they will also hold the tiebreaker with the Chargers because they will have won both games. And so that would put the Chiefs at 8-6. At that point, if they just win one of the next two against Miami or Denver.
5-1 in the division if they beat, or 4-1 in the division if they beat the Chargers with the Broncos left to play. But the Broncos don't figure in.
Quarterback you.
Yeah, and the Broncos, though, boy, would they love to play spoiler. If it comes down to the last week of the season and the for whatever reason the Chiefs would have to beat the Broncos to get in, I'm telling you, Denver would just be hyped to the gills.
Well, they might be calmed down a little bit because of some of the activities the fans might be doing in the smoking section at the stadium or maybe just outside on the Are you allowed to – well, I guess at, like, Arrowhead Stadium, you're allowed to smoke in the smoking section. You're not really supposed to smoke in the stands. But what are their rules with smoking weed at the stadium? Can you just go to the smoking section and just stand there a little bit
and that,
and
you
get
know,
you a little high?
And that's legal in Colorado, which is really kind of hard to believe. But anyway, that's another story for another time. But
Steve will chronicle that.
Yeah, I just think if the Chiefs beat the Chargers, they're in pretty good shape. Then they get Miami the following week. Now, Miami looked terrific last night. But for some reason, I just thought New England was very flat.
That's the way they've been a lot of the year.
I mean, they look very flat. Miami knew their season was over. They were kind of in the, you know, back up against the wall. I mean, they're still very much in doubt of making, you know, having a chance at the playoffs. And, you know, I just thought Miami played great last night. Jay Cutler turned back the hands of time about 7 or 8
Big
years.
J.
Yeah, and he threw for 3 touchdowns, but he's not a guy that you pin your hopes on. He's proven time and again you can't depend on him. So Saturday night in Kansas City, Saturday night game, that seems weird, but it seems like night games in Kansas City, the Chiefs get pumped up.
Yeah, and let's hope that's the case. So they've got a chance. All they have to do is make it, is all I'm saying. Okay, on the other side, we wrap up the show and give you a little preview for tonight's Bullpups against Abilene matchup, which will start at 6 o'clock from Abilene, and our coverage will start at 5:45 here on 96.7 FM. KBBE, we're back after this on According to Jim.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Meads Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE, a lot of Jayhawks talk, a lot of Chiefs talk, and now we transition into Bullpup basketball as McPherson High will take on Abilene tonight up at Abilene. You guys can't see it right now, but Steve Sell is just jamming out to some Alice Cooper.
Oh, yeah.
He is a huge fan of the Coop Man.
Oh, yeah.
Steve sings No More Mr. Nice Guy just walking around the office most days. he's jamming to this. Well, Bullpup's on the road tonight after a very tough loss, a couple of tough losses against Miege from Friday night. I think this is a really good game for them to rebound and get their feet back underneath them and feel good about going forward, because both teams could easily sit around and go, oh, boo-hoo for us. We lost to Miege on Friday, a couple of close games. We feel bad. But that's not the way these two teams are.
Coach
and I
Strathman,
think that this is the night that they come out and get right back on it.
Coach Strathman and Coach Kinnaman won't allow that to happen. You do worry about a little bit of a Miege hangover, and you might see both teams maybe struggle a little bit at the start. The McPherson boys have always had trouble in Abilene. The Cowboys have always played the Bullpups tough. I think the girls get it done pretty handily. I know Abilene's 3-0 and ranked number 6, but I just remember last year, and I think we might have had that game in running clock. I could be mistaken, but
well, it was 42-16 at half.
Yeah.
And the game ended up being a little closer than that, 55-39, but that was because they completely let off the gas.
Right. That's what I was thinking. It was headed for running clock, and then we kind of, like you say, let off the gas. They've graduated some players from last year, so I think the Bullpup girls, as long as they come out and they're focused, get it done, McPherson boys, I think they're going to make a statement tonight. I really do. I think they're going to come out and really step on it tonight. Abilene, 1-2, very uncharacteristic. Generally, when we play them, they're always 3-0 or 4-0 by the time we play them. They don't have the great three-point shooting that they've had in the past. Got a load inside in Tucker Robinson, though. Big guy, 6'4". Remember him from football, about 260. Yeah. He's about 260. So.
And Preston Boyd, too, another one of their big guys.
They're going to have the size to play with the Bullpups. But I think when McPherson cranks up the pressure defense, that's when it's going to be all over for Abilene.
So, Steve, I'm still a little bit new here, and I've been getting some history lessons from not only you, but our buddy Mark Heidebrecht. He was able to give me a little history lesson about this Abilene-McPherson series. So it's strange that the boys' teams of Abilene and McPherson have played 79 times over the years, but the girls' teams have only played 3 times. And so he normally will send me some matchup history of the programs and what has happened in the games, and he told me that since the girls' program at McPherson started in the 69-70 season, by then, Abilene and McPherson were no longer in the same league, the old Central Kansas League.
Right.
And so the boys had played Abilene for games forever, but then they did not continue to schedule them with a non-league basis throughout the 70s, and then they didn't play them at all from 1975 to 2013. And part of that time, I think Abilene was a little bit slow in getting a girls program. And so since 2014, those teams have scheduled games, and so only 3 times the girls have played Abilene, which is weird for this.
But all the games have been very competitive, and they're good games for McPherson because, as we've said before, Division III of the AVCTL, just not very strong, especially on the girls' side. The girls' side of the AVCTL, really weak this year. Now, on the boys, Buehler will be very good. After that, I don't think you'll see a whole lot of challenge for the McPherson boys, but this is why we play teams like Abilene and Newton for the girls and Great Bend and then the great tournament play that we have. Andale, I tell you, those will be tough games when we go to Andale, both boys and girls, because Andale, always very, very good. So important games. I just think it's all about focus tonight. If the Bullpups have, you know, gotten the bad taste out of their mouths from last Friday, granted, you know, another road game, and we've had, you know, El Dorado about a 70-mile trip, Miege a 200-mile trip, now another 65-mile trip to Abilene. I think we can make it.
You're driving tonight,
yeah,
so good.
Yeah, so it may take us an hour and a half to get there because I barely go 55, so, another road trip, and then it's sure going to be nice to get back home on Friday, and then I think we have Andover
on Tuesday,
and Andover's always been pretty decent. Of course, our boys lost, I believe, at Andover last year.
Yep.
So, that's always a good challenge, bigger school. And then the teams will break for the Christmas holiday. I think we're ready for a break. I know I'm ready for a break after next Tuesday. And
I could go for 6 months of the basketball season. You know me.
Well, I need a break. Maybe that's the old man in me, but, covering basketball for 42 years, sometimes you need a little bit of a break.
In Steve's famous quote, I am older than dirt. I think he says that about once a week, whether on the show or just walking around the office. I'm not going to go that far, but Steve, I think that you're starting to think a little negatively of yourself.
Well, but I still have some golf game. I'm still playing the blue tees. That's my.
You're not older than dirt till you have to step up to the yellow or the red.
Well, tees. I refused. I mean, I don't even want to play the white tees. So I want to play the blues as long as I can. I got to be competitive.
You're not older than dirt yet.
Okay.
Can we settle for that?
I'll settle for that.
All right. Perfect. Boys and girls basketball at Abilene tonight. Tip at 6 for the girls. Our coverage will start at 5:45 right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. We will see you tonight at Abilene.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Meade's Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.